Sim, como as que mas teu. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Hello and welcome to another program on the Community Living Show on the NCRA, the National Campus and Radio Association Networks, and of course our flagship station CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting of course from UBC's campus, UBC University of British Columbia campus as well. I'm of course Kelly, as you may know me as DJ Ray from the Late Night Show, also on CITR. And, of course, with me is Michael Rubin. How are you today?
Where do you find some of the crazy stuff you play on the Late Night Show anyway?
Oh, I do a lot of stuff on it. I'm hoping to bring some guests onto the show as well. So
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, speaking of guests, I pre-recorded a interview with... with someone a couple of days ago. We had a pretty cool conversation at our other station, mm-hmm. On the co-op radio. So we actually recorded the conversation, and his name is Omar Lahani, and he's speaking about the topic matter is about sleep apnea that was caused by an orthodontic practice that is done to even to our kids even now. So, to straighten their teeth. So, it's just some things that they don't, that the orthodontist may not actually tell you. Okay. Or maybe he doesn't know.
So, all right.
So whenever you're ready, we'll...
I'm ready anytime. The thing is on and
let's push play.
Yep, let it rip.
Hello, and we're talking here today with Omar Lahani, and he is contributing literature researcher of Volume 4, Clinical Management of Basic Maxillofacial Orthopedic Appliance, the FJO TMD Migraine Connection by Dr. TJ Spall. He also started the organization righttogrow.org. And he's here to speak with us today about some of the effects of medical or dental treatments that we apply to our kids. And long-term effects of what they could be. So, good morning, Omar. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this sounds like off-air. We talked a little bit about things and everything, and it sounds like really important stuff that parents need to know how to proceed with certain dental
orthodontic work
orthodontic work, right?
Yeah.
So first there's a couple of terms that did you use that we as lay people we probably don't really understand, mm-hmm. and I want to get what is the you were describing the distinction between overbite versus overjet.
Sure. Before I go into that, do you mind if I tell the listeners why it's so important they stay tuned and why they listen to the whole thing?
Oh, yes. By all means, please do.
Okay. So basically, orthodontic work is not just moving teeth. A lot of the work moves bone. Mm-hmm. And when you're moving around bones of the skull those bones impact the size of the airway,
right?
Especially the bones of the upper and lower jaw. And so there are certain orthodontic practices that retract or pull back or diminish the size of the upper and lower jaw. And as a result, they diminish the size of the airway. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. It has severe lifelong health consequences, some of which can be fatal. And and I'll get into the technicality because it's not an exaggeration.
Right.
So you have to watch what you do with your kid in terms of orthodontic treatment, because it's not just about the teeth. So going back to what you were asking me.
Yes.
So often, more often than not, parents go see an orthodontist because their kid is buck-toothed. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the lower jaw is further back than the upper jaw. So that discrepancy is called an overjet.
Okay.
Okay. So it's the horizontal distance. It's when the teeth of the lower jaw are behind the teeth of the upper jaw.
Okay.
Yeah, the incisors, the front teeth.
Okay.
So, and an overbite is when the mouth is closed and the upper incisors, the upper front teeth, bite below the lower incisors. So they overlap each other when they bite.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's not such a big deal. We can talk about that. But
right.
So overjet is what most people try and correct, or orthodontists might call it a class two bite.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that can happen for two reasons. One is the teeth are not aligned, so the upper front teeth are bucked out. Or it can happen for skeletal reasons.
Okay.
Okay.
So I mean, there's something wrong with the with the skeletal structure.
Yeah, and okay. Well, the musculos, not just the skeletal. So I should
right.
correct myself. They're the musculoskeletal structure.
So there's a lot more going on besides with your mouth than just your teeth.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So you mind if I just go into it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you take your kid to see an orthodontist, and the orthodontist will say your kid is buck-toothed or class two or has an overjet. And conventional orthodontic treatment relies on this basic premise. A kid is buck-toothed because the upper jaw is overgrown. And therefore, we need to stunt the growth of the upper jaw in order to let the lower jaw catch up. And what I am here to say is that the concept of an upper jaw being overgrown is a myth. And that the research shows that the reason why your kid has an overjet is most likely because the upper jaw is undergrown. I know it sounds weird, but I'll get into the mechanics of why that is and why it is so dangerous to pull back an already undergrown upper jaw, let alone a properly grown upper jaw. Because if you pull back an upper jaw, the only reason why you can do that thing is because there's space behind it. And that space behind it is called the airway.
So you're saying that if we pull back the upper jaw,
yep,
that we're constricting the airway.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely saying that. You could look at a grade 9 science textbook anatomy picture of the person's face, and you will see that the front wall of the upper airway forms the back wall of the upper jaw. You bring the upper jaw back, you are encroaching on the airway. And the danger here is that a kid will not be able to breathe properly.
Okay.
Okay, and the research shows a connection between a retracted upper jaw and obstructive sleep apnea. And obstructive sleep apnea can kill someone. That's when you choke at night. because your airway is too small for your tongue. Your tongue grew to full size, but your airway didn't. And when this happens to a kid, it can cause a whole lot of problems, from falling asleep in class to not being able to participate in life the way they ought to just being exhausted constantly, to not being able to hold on a job when they're an adult. Disable someone. So
right.
So you have to be really mindful of the airway when you play around with structures that involve the airway, the jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is the airway just isn't, as I always thought, it was just to the back of the throat.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in the skeletal structure of the skull.
It does. Yeah. Your airway starts at your nostrils. So the whole point of Right to Grow is this organization that I started, which is to educate parents and practitioners on the dangers of stunting the growth of the upper jaw,
mm-hmm.
and what that does to the airway, and consequently what that does to a person's quality of life. So we educate parents, we educate practitioners, but our main goal is to place a ban on a certain appliance called a headgear. A headgear mm-hmm. is an appliance that orthodontists, they don't use a lot today, but it still happens, where they take a strap behind the back of the patient's neck and they attach it to a metal arch wire that goes across the front of the face, and it's hooked into two bands on the upper, I think it's the upper first molars, or upper molars. And it pulls the upper jaw back using the spine as a fixed point.
Right.
Okay. And it is a form of growth stunting. And so when I talk to people, I ask them if they know about foot binding in China.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where we took little girls' feet and we put them in wooden shoes that couldn't expand, or we tied them up,
mm-hmm.
and it was a cultural thing, and it created havoc on their lives, and on that they couldn't, these women couldn't run, they couldn't walk properly. And 200 years ago, one of the rulers of China said, forget it, we're going to ban this. And he banned it.
Yeah.
He banned it. And so...
Now, I know that since you brought up the example of foot binding,
yeah.
that emperor did ban it, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah.
And but it took the culture another 100 so years to actually totally stop.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I heard there's a woman still alive in China who has her... She's in her 80s or 90s. She has her feet bound.
Yeah. So we want to... The purpose of Right to Grow is to make sure that this sort of situation doesn't happen with orthodontics.
You see, what we're doing today is we are binding the jaws of children. We're stopping their jaws from growing in order to get the teeth to line up. And it's really no different than foot binding. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's no different than foot binding.
Yeah.
You know, so if you went to a doctor and the doctor said, oh, your kid's rib cage is overgrown, we're going to put her rib cage in a little metal, you know, in a metal shirt that doesn't expand and just wear it to sleep, that wouldn't sound right.
No, we wouldn't do that.
We wouldn't do that to their hands. We wouldn't do it to their feet, but we do it to their faces. We do it to their skulls. Okay. Now, let me get into one piece of research here. There was a paper published about 20 years ago. It was published, it was a Korean team of researchers, and they found that something very obvious, that the spine is not fixed. How obvious, right?
Okay.
Okay, we know that the vertebrae move.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so in orthodontics, we assume, in orthodontic practice, they assume that they treat the spine as a fixed point, and they use that to anchor the upper jaw. The spine isn't fixed. What these researchers found is that when children wear headgears to sleep, the force on the headgear displaces the vertebrae into the airway. So the diameter of the airway is reduced while a kid wears this to sleep.
So let me make sure I'm understanding.
I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
So that's just the short-term consequence of wearing a cervical headgear.
Mm-hmm.
My main point of discussion is the long-term consequences. But just on the short term, just for the 2 years while a kid is wearing it to sleep, they don't have enough of an airway.
So my question is this, are you actually saying that while the headgear is pulling in from the front, it's also pulling from behind, constricting the airway from two different ways?
Well, not only do I say that, but Sir Isaac Newton would probably say that too, okay? Yeah. Because Isaac Newton had laws. There's Isaac's first law, second law, and his third law. We learned them in high school, and one of them states that for every action, there is an equal action of opposite in direction, equal in magnitude.
Right.
So you pull forward on one structure, you're going to pull backward on another structure with the same force. Okay, so we're now in orthodontics. Mm-hmm. There are two types of forces. There's orthodontic forces.
Mm-hmm.
Those are lighter forces that are designed to move teeth, 100 to 200 grams, maybe more, or 200 to 400 grams.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's orthopedic forces. Orthopedic forces are designed to move bone. So orthopedic appliances, they're not designed to move teeth. They're designed to move bone, and it's harder pulling, 400 to 600 grams. So a headgear is an orthopedic appliance. So we are applying orthopedic forces to the upper jaw to pull it back, but those same orthopedic forces are applied to the spine. So the spine is being rammed into the airway. Mm-hmm. No parents are told of that. Now, in 1980, the Supreme Court in our country ruled that a medical practitioner must inform the patient or the patient's legal guardian of the material, adverse, consequential risks of the treatment, and that those risks must be laid out in layman's terms. I've not heard of an orthodontist informing a patient that through the use of a cervical headgear, that their spine may be rammed forward into their airway, reducing their air supply at night while they sleep, which is when that child secretes growth hormone. Which is when that child needs their air. I mean,
yeah,
I was going to say when they need it the most badly because they're growing, but you can't live without air for a minute or two anyway. Well,
let's get into to the basic mechanics of life. Food, we can live maybe a few weeks without food, a few days without water. We're down to seconds or minutes with air.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So, with that being said, so restricting the airway would be a really bad thing to do.
I would say that's an understatement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me get into the long term consequences of
Yeah, because we do need to talk about there's a long term lifestyle.
Yes.
And. Education effects and things like that.
Of course,
With this airway being constricted, right?
Exactly. So Here's what happens. So you take a kid who's buck-toothed and you say, let's pull the upper jaw back, okay, to get the lower jaw to line up. Well, what a researcher found, this is 80 years ago, her name...
Okay, so I guess we're going to... Take a break?
Yeah, we got to get a break in, don't we?
Yes, we do. So, and we'll continue on with the conversation. Go back a little bit and see if you've got the rest of the interview that he
I've got the next part.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
we'll be back.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three,
four. Did you know CITR has a women's collective?
This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it, it's almost indecent of me.
On Saturday, April 16th, CGSF and CITR are bringing you Record Store Day. A full 2 to 8 p.m. broadcast from locations all around Vancouver.
There will be live bands, interviews, prizes, and more at your favorite locations. Beat Street, Vinyl, Red Cat, and Neptune. Come on down or tune in on Saturday, April 16th on CGSF 90.1 FM or CITR 101.9 FM.
And we're back on the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly and this is Michael.
Hi.
We're talking about a lot of Right to Grow.
Yeah, Right to Grow. Okay, I'm going to play part two of the conversation.
Part two of the segment. All right, here we go.
They no longer have an overjet.
Okay.
And we didn't have to do anything to the teeth. It's got to do with the growth and the airway. Now, let's get into one more thing about headgear before we go into the major consequences, because I want to freak parents out. That's what I want to do right now. I want to scare them because it's scary. It is scary what can happen to a kid when a kid has obstructive sleep apnea. But the other issue I have with headgear is that, so for one, it ignores the effect on the spine. But number two, and this is pretty scary, if you look at a superior view of a human skull, so you're looking at it from the bottom, looking up, you will see many little openings between the spine and the airway and the upper jaw.
Okay.
Okay, tiny little openings. One of them is called the carotid canal.
Okay.
There's the jugular foramen. There's a whole bunch of these little openings.
Mm-hmm.
The carotid canal is an opening where blood flow goes to the brain.
That we coincide with the carotid artery, is that not correct?
Yes. Okay. There are other pathways in there where nerves go in and out.
Yeah.
Headgear, the lines of force, the orthopedic, in other words, the bone-moving lines of force of a cervical headgear or other types of headgear, pass right through those structures. They pass right through the carotid canal. And in orthodontic practice, they don't look at the impact or the deflection in the bone, or the deviation in the bone potentially caused by those forces that are going right through it. So if you are passing bone-moving forces through structures like the carotid canal, but you're not looking at the impact of those forces on those structures, you ought to be at the very least, telling your patients. You ought to say to your patient, in order to be on the right side of the law, because in 1980 we had this informed consent
right.
law, you ought to be telling your patients, look, I'm going to be passing bone-crushing forces or bone-stunting, okay, bone-moving forces
right.
through your carotid canal and through your airway. In order to get your teeth where I think they should be. And I'm not going to be checking on what's happening to the blood flow to your brain. I'm not even going to look, even though I'm putting bone moving forces through that structure. And I'm not going to be checking up on the patency of your airway. Okay? Now I can. There are ear, nose, and throat doctors. I can send you there. There's a respirologist that can refer you out, but I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be just looking at your teeth, and I'm assuming your teeth will be okay. Oh, and by the way, one thing I should tell you is that for the past 100 years or so, There has been a group of orthodontists who have been speaking out against pulling the upper jaw back. They believe it's harmful. They've talked about its effect on the airway. They've talked about its effect on your life. But I don't believe any of that. Headgear's been used for 200 plus years, and I'm going to continue to use it. That would be informed consent. Okay.
So yeah,
your airway could be impacted.
I would be a little frightened as a parent.
Yes. But the real informed consent goes into sleep apnea, because what we found is that there's something called the headgear effect. The headgear effect is when the upper jaw grows down and back and the lower jaw grows down and back. So the studies show that when the upper jaw is pulled back and stunted from growing, that the upper jaw is prevented from growing as well. I'll repeat that. When the lower jaw, okay, when the upper jaw is stunted using a cervical mm-hmm. headgear or other forms of what they call oral traction, extra oral traction, the lower jaw is unable to come forward. This is what the studies show. And so it's called the headgear effect. What happens is the upper and lower jaw grow down and backward. It's called excess vertical growth of the lower third of the face. It creates a high arched upper jaw as well. And there, I'll get into the problem with that when we talk about nose breathing. But there was a paper published in 1986 by Dr. Alan Lowe, who today is the head of orthodontics at the University of British Columbia. And it was basically restating what other doctors knew 50, 60 years ago about disrupted breathing, but they never called it sleep apnea. He said this is the cranial morphology of moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea. And how he described it in his paper is that it was excess vertical growth of the lower third of the face, so an upper and a lower jaw that have grown down and back,
mm-hmm.
high-pitched upper arch.
Okay.
And so what he described in large part is the headgear effect.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
Because you keep saying sleep apnea.
Yes.
I want folks out there to know exactly what does sleep apnea really mean.
Okay. Sleep apnea is when you choke at night. So sleep apnea, there's many ways they measure it, but one way is called is the number of times you choke per hour. So sleep apnea, it's called your AHI. And if you're choking 0 to 5 times an hour, it's considered normal. If you're choking 5 to 15 or 20 times an hour, it's considered mild. If you're choking, I think, 15 to 25 plus, or, 30 plus, I don't know the numbers off by heart, it's considered moderate. I think anything higher than 25 or 30 is severe, or maybe anything higher than 40 is severe, but there's a range. There's a range, okay? Now, sleep apnea, it's typically a condition of people who are very overweight.
Right.
And but sleep apnea can happen to someone who is not overweight. And usually, if they're not overweight, it's a structural issue with their airway. There's also central sleep apnea, which is a neurological issue where the brain isn't processing the timing of breathing properly. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about obstructive sleep apnea.
That's something else. Obstructive
OSA.
Means that there's something in the way of the airway.
Bingo.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about
obstructive.
I just want to make sure
that's defined for our listeners.
We're talking about obstructive sleep apnea. Obstructive sleep apnea.
Okay.
Yeah. So an obstructive sleep apnea, when a person goes to sleep and they lie on their, it's usually when they lie on their back, the tongue falls back into the airway and blocks it off. And a kid starts to choke, or an adult starts to choke.
No, isn't there the human condition has formed a structural way of keeping the tongue from falling back into the throat while you sleep, right?
Yes. So ideally, when the upper jaw is properly grown and the tongue is properly grown, the upper jaw is wide enough and long enough, the tongue is suctioned up against the palate
mm-hmm.
with the mouth shut. The lips sealed, the mouth shut, the tongue is suctioned up against the upper palate and out of the airway. And now a person can breathe through their nose. If their upper jaw is undergrown, pulled back into their airway, all of a sudden they can't breathe through their nose. They're going to open their mouth, which pulls the jaw down and back. It also releases the tongue from the suction. Now the tongue is no longer suctioned, it's going to fall back. because the person's lying on their back. And many people are naturally back sleepers. They end up on their back. Mm-hmm. So the tongue falls down into the throat and blocks it off.
Okay.
That's it. And that can happen. So for me, when we'll get into my personal story, but for me, it happened 76 times an hour. So I was never getting any rest. So when I finally found out the answer to why I had this, that's when I, you know, what got me.
Gotcha. Started on this.
Started on this whole topic.
76 times an hour.
Yeah.
That's
during REM. It was something a little bit lower before REM. So I was we're talking about jaws, okay? A fully grown jaw.
Yeah, right.
So it's very important that the upper jaw is, and the maxilla is fully grown. It's very, very important that it's fully grown. And, you know, when a kid's teeth are crowded and someone says there's not enough room for your kid's teeth, do you think the kid has too many teeth? Do you think the teeth are too big? Or is it that the upper jaw isn't big enough to accommodate the properly sized teeth? And if that's the case, then the upper jaw is undergrown. And we see a lot of that today in modern man because of our diet and our lifestyle. A lot of kids are mouth breathers.
I'm a big advocate for leave the Kraft macaroni and cheese on the shelf and go buy the fruits and vegetables that we're supposed to be eating. Because our body needs to recognize things as food, right?
Yep. So there's a group of researchers who looked at indigenous cultures where kids had very well-formed jaws and very straight teeth and never needed orthodontic work. Western Price went and looked at them, famous researcher, and Dr. John Mew, who's a legend in the field of... growth guidance.
Right.
They say that one of the reasons why we don't have properly and fully grown jaws in the modern day is because of our modern diet. And it has to do with not chewing tough foods early enough. So it's the chewing of tough foods that creates width in the jaws. The chewing develops facial and jaw muscles, which impact where the bones go. So muscle structure impacts where the cranial bones go, especially the upper bones.
So you're saying that the upper jaw is actually undergrown, and we're applying more pressure to restrict it and then constricting the airway and the bloodways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to take a stab at this, and I'm going to assume that there is another path that we can actually take. So can we expand the jaw so that they say that, oh, well, there's not enough room for all the teeth that your kid has. Can we expand that jaw so there becomes enough
and
actually helps the airway?
Absolutely, yes. There was a study done on twins about 2 decades ago or more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the orthodontist compared, it was John Mew, he compared retractive orthodontics, which is pulling teeth out and pulling teeth back and pulling the jaws back, versus something called the orthotropic approach, which is helping the bones grow forward, helping the patient or the child keep their mouth shut, which keeps the jaw forward, which allows them to breathe through their nose. And huge differences. You look at the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
This is done on twins. One twin has a sunken in, collapsed looking face, and the other twin has a forward grown face that doesn't look collapsed.
Wow.
Yeah. So helping the face grow to its optimal position involves understanding breathing. And if you don't understand breathing, you should not be playing around with the growth of the face.
Right.
And so you're a parent, you need to know that. You memorize what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take your kid to see someone who does not understand breathing if that person is going to be modifying the bones of their breathing structures.
Yeah. So we've danced around the lifestyle effects. We've talked about the apnea. But we haven't actually got down to what is the impact of that apnea. If you chokes 76 times a minute, which
is almost every minute, 45 seconds.
I'm sorry. Yeah. 76 times an hour, which if I was running a race, my heart may race to 76 beats an hour, race to that rate. Now, if you're being choked off that many times, more than once a second, what is the long-term effect of your rest and what your brain function is from not getting adequate rest? What is that? How does that affect life?
Okay, so maybe now's a good time I go into my personal story, what got me into this. So when I was 11 years old, I had minor buck teeth. Our dentist said, go see an orthodontist. This guy was the head of orthodontics at University of British Columbia. And he said, well, we need to pull your upper jaw back. It's overgrown. And we're going to let your lower jaw catch up. This is 1989, summer.
Okay.
I was 10 years old. And on my way to 11. And I said, are there any side effects? He said, no, there are no side effects. Other than your lower jaw growing forward too much, because this helps your lower jaw grow forward. And I said, sign me up. I don't want the extractions. I'll just wear the headgear. He said, no problem. That's the best approach for you. Within a month of wearing the headgear, I stopped waking up at the same time. I started waking up later, more tired. I stopped being able to eat breakfast with my family. I stopped being able to get ready at my own pace. I was rushed. My mornings became rushed. There were times, you know, in grade 7 when I was 12, I would brush my teeth at school because I was so late. I'd be getting ready in the car. Morning activities became out of question. By the time I got to high school, morning sports, morning choir, no way I was on time. I don't think I was on time for any morning class, actually. Our morning classes started at 8:30 or even 9 o'clock. It became impossible. In grade 12, grade 11, I was 16, and I was put in a fixed-width retainer. So I also have an issue with retainers. I think it is a foolish thing to do to put a growing child's face in a fixed-width retainer while they sleep, or even during the day.
Okay.
Because a fixed-width retainer...
Okay, so we will be back in a moment and to have the conclusions of the site. And you were saying, Michael, earlier on, you're going to post this on the Facebook page?
Yes, I'm going to post it, the entire conversation on Facebook,
okay,
on our community living page. Yep.
So when you do that, go on to facebook.com/groups/CLivingRadio. That will be our podcast on that. Okay. All right. So we will be back in a moment. You're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks and our show flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM.
Do you like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
He's a nasty, nasty guy. He's a liar.
Get him out of here. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here.
They call me
DJ Ray.
The late night show is the start of the weekend. We play all sorts of drum and bass, D&B, jungle for the first part of the show. On the second part of the late night show, we play lots of ambient sounds or any irritating type of noise that goes bump in the night or any type of new age music that you hear on other stations. Only it's better here on CITR. Or any other case for that matter, if you're out and about and you want to hear something that is really groovy and stuff, then check out the late night show here on CITR. CITR 101.9 FM or streaming us online at CITR.ca. We broadcast right about after Friday night, Saturday mornings at 12:30 in the morning, just right after the Medicine Show hosted by Jason Lawrence. You can email me on request or any drum and bass you like to hear, or any local DMB. If you are a drum and bass person that you want to share on the radio or on CITR, the email address is CITRLateNightShow@gmail.com.
This concludes our proposal. Thank you for your attention.
And we're back on the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're talking about Right to Grow. If you have any information on Right to Grow, you can go online at www.righttogrow.org.
Yep,
that's the website.
Yep.
All right, now the conclusion.
Gainers and the band of headgears. And by the way, there are orthodontists who wouldn't dare use a fixed-width retainer for that very reason. So anyways, going back to, so where my retainer and my retainer things got really bad. I used to sleep in the nurse's room at lunch hour and recess. I just go to sleep because I was so tired. I couldn't really focus in my class, most of my classes, mm-hmm. unless I had that nap. And in college, thinking about high school, so this is what will happen to your kid, is your kid will have to work 10 times as hard to maintain their marks. So your kid won't have much of a social life because they'll be exhausted when they come home from school and they won't want to go out. Weekends right. will be catching up on sleep. College, I can't tell you how many times I've fallen asleep in a lecture to wake up in the middle of the next lecture. Or how many times I've dozed off in the library to take a 20-minute nap to wake up with the security guard saying, hey, buddy, the library's closed. Time to go home. So, and I can't tell you how many times I've been fired from jobs because I've been fatigued late for meeting, late for work. Mm-hmm. I'd eat breakfast on the bus. I'd sleep on the bus, eat breakfast at work. I'd skip lunch. I'd sleep at lunch. I'd go to the toilet 10 times a day to sleep in the toilet.
Wow.
Sleep on the toilet because I was pretending I had to go for another reason, but I was so tired, so tired. Couldn't hold down the job. 2013, I woke up and I could barely see and move. And my sister said, who was becoming an ND at the time, she said, it sounds like sleep apnea. You might want to go see a doctor. I went to see a doctor. They sent me to the hospital. And that's when they realized that I was choking 76 times an hour during my REM stage of sleep. And they said, you have pretty severe sleep apnea. It's actually probably worse than the study indicates, but we'd say you're moderate to severe, more on the severe side.
Yeah. At night, you use a breathing apparatus?
I do, yeah. So I went to see an ENT, and the ENT said, well, you need to be on a CPAP machine, which blows air down your lungs and props your airway open. Blows it down your throat, not your lungs. And he said, let me look at your airway. Let's see where the obstruction is. And he put a camera up my nose and down my throat, and he said, you know, you have an upper airway obstruction. Your airway is a quarter the size it should be. Your upper jaw is too far back. Your lower jaw is too far back. And the best thing for you is to have a surgery that brings your upper jaw forward and brings your lower jaw forward. At that point, I said, wait a minute. I wore an appliance as a kid that was designed to pull my upper jaw back. And I was never told about its impact on my airway. I then went to UBC. I spent every weekend, every day after work I had spare, reading up on the research behind cervical headgears. And I discovered that from the early 1900s to just a few years ago, every few years a paper comes out in a major orthodontic journal by a very well-known researcher, and it says the same thing. The lower jaw is trapped from growing forward when the upper jaw is stunted through the use of a cervical headgear. The device causes disastrous side effects, causes excess vertical growth, should be used with caution. The impact on These craniofacial changes are not attributed to normal growth. Kids who do not wear headgear have more forward growth in their lower jaws. All these papers, 50 or 60 of them, they all said the same thing. Cervical headgear causes the face to grow down and back.
So let's get into it.
Yeah, and that's when I started Right to Grow. And I said, look, there's evidence here that says that this appliance is really dangerous. There's papers that show that when you have too much vertical growth, you have sleep apnea. So there's really a direct connection between headgear and sleep apnea. Not only that, there are actually papers that show prove the connection. There was a China study and a Dutch study that showed a direct link between headgear and sleep apnea. So I'm saying we have to ban these appliances. We have to stop. And that's why I started Right to Grow. And then the research, Dr. Terry Spall found, you know, saw other research, and he said, holy cow, this is, you know, I've been trying to say the same thing, and point well taken. I'm going to put this in my textbook if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
Yeah. So we're starting to run out of time. Give everybody, again, the best way to get at this research from your website.
Sure. You go to righttogrow.org.
Okay.
Righttogrow.org. Not the number two, but T-O, righttogrow.org. You'll see interviews with the dentists. They'll talk about the alternatives.
Okay.
But look up orthotropics. That's an alternative. There's non-extraction orthodontics. There's making sure your kid is breathing through their nose. And if they're not, find out why. Why are they breathing through their mouth? Is there inflammation in their nose? Is it dietary? Do they have enlarged adenoids? Is it their tonsils?
Right.
Okay. Why is your kid breathing through their mouth? Find out. Go see an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Okay. Basic message to parents out there.
Basic message. Do not do anything that stunts the growth of the upper jaw. Headgears, there are other appliances that take elastic bands and they try and pull the lower jaw forward using the upper jaw as a fixed point. But what does Newton's third law say? I think it's his third law. That if you pull one thing forward, you pull another thing back. So even those appliances that have elastics between the upper jaw and the lower jaw to pull the lower jaw forward, they pull the upper jaw back.
Right.
Don't do anything that pulls the upper jaw back. It's not supposed to be pulled back. It's supposed to grow forward so a kid can breathe.
Okay.
That's the message.
Okay. And it is right, T-O, they spell out the word two.
righttogrow.org.
Okay. Thank you, Omar.
Thank you.
And best of luck on your mission. And I hope that we get the word out to parents on
Thank
this
you.
One. Okay. Okay.
All right.
So that was the conversation. Pretty, if you have children and their buck tooth, it can be pretty scary stuff. Making sure that you're actually doing, you know, finding the right procedures for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go check out the information on righttogrow.org. Okay.
Great.
So do we have another clip available? How about that one? Okay. I posted one yesterday the TransLink faux pas.
Okay, well, I'll have a look at that. I need to search it through here in a minute.
Because TransLink promised to have the Faragates fix for people with disabilities. They can't reach out to tap their compass card.
Of course.
And it would seem that...
That
isn't the case?
Yeah. Well, that was the one on CTV News. So
yeah.
I'm just clicking that in. So there's an article on the wheelchair lockout of Compass Gates. So it was on the news here. So here's the clip, and we'll be back in a moment.
The new multi-million dollar Compass Card system has only been fully up and running for a week now, and already there are problems.
Some people with disabilities can't get through the Faragates, and as CTV's Penny Daflos reports, the fix TransLink promised isn't always there.
5:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, and Luke Galvani was out of luck at one of the system's busiest stops.
As you can see, no one's around.
The SFU student planned to take SkyTrain at Burrard Station, but isn't able to tap in on his own. He kept looking for a SkyTrain attendant.
Someone wandered up, so probably after 10 minutes. He appeared at the stairs, like over there, didn't even see me.
Galvani says he called CTV News out of frustration at how common an occurrence this is.
All the time, whenever I come through the station, there's no one here, which I mean, I'm reliant on people as it is.
When TransLink started closing all the fare gates last week to clamp down on fare evaders, officials said they had a fix for people unable to tap their Compass card in or out.
We'll continue to have staff at most of our stations along SkyTrain and C-Bus, and they'll be able to assist those customers.
Given the size of the system and the potential difficulty in having someone at every station, the backup plan was simple.
When we aren't able to have staff at the station, then we'll ensure that the accessible gate remains open.
That wasn't the case here. Other transit users with disabilities who are able to navigate the system on their own say there's rarely anyone around to help.
Not very often at this SkyTrain or the one near my place, Commercial Broadway.
I hope they implement something better.
Galvani hopes TransLink finds a better solution, and soon.
But we've gone from having the most accessible transit system in the world to now shutting an entire group of people out.
Penny Daflaw, CTV News, Vancouver.
Well, there was a little segment on it, where they were doing the interview. I think it was the 6 o'clock news where attendant was around.
yeah, we did find it as a separate one. They had that.
But when the news, my guess is when the news are done, that's when the attendant leaves.
Yeah.
They're not there pretty much all day, all night, that kind of thing.
Right. And if they're not going to be there, of course, the accessible gate's supposed to be open.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
No, that is not.
So
there you go. And of course, I went to Victoria yesterday. They're doing another demonstration on the bus pass program and the save the bus pass fares and to raise the rates on to, demonstrating to the provincial government that is happening over there. And, of course, there's one side, there's the NDP side, and then, of course, the other side is the Liberal side. So most of the Liberal governments like to, close the windows and don't get distracted with the demonstration that was really happening out front of the legislature.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what? The only way to get government to change anything is to oppose demonstrations, write letters, that sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so. And especially to the Liberal MLAs as well.
Yeah.
Of course, I live in a riding of Vancouver Quilchino, Andrew Wilkinson. Of course, he's the Minister of Advanced Education.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, our funding should be more reasonable for others, and obviously the government is still saying no, we still have this plan and we're still sticking to it right through till September. So there's going to be more demonstrations and more protests throughout the summer.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Well, there you have it.
So I'm assuming we're going to finish up a little bit early. I don't know if do you have any final words you need to say?
Nope. Yeah, nothing final unless I, again, blast TransLink because, hey, get it right, guys.
Yes. And, of course, our topic today was called Right to Grow.
Yes.
And
so go to righttogrow.org, and, of course, I'll be posting that the whole entire MP3 up on Facebook on the Community Living Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we are on social media as well. Go to www.facebook.com/groups/CLivingRadio.
Mm-hmm.
That's our Facebook page. On Twitter, we are on at CI or not CITR. We are on at Sea Living Radio. And if you want to email us on comments and questions that we've, you know, about more to grow, and I'll send the emails right towards Michael to his personal email address. But the email address is CITR. No, it's not CITR. It's communityliving radio@gmail.com. So.
Okay.
And I'll pass it over to Michael, his personal email address, which I won't be sharing live to it on the air anyway. So there you go. So that's the personal, I mean, that's our email address, communityliving radio@gmail.com. So
yeah.
Have a great day, and we'll be back again next week. And of course, tomorrow on the show on Co-op Radio. Yes. I won't be in tomorrow.
Yeah. But I'll be there tomorrow, and I'll probably replay the interview again,
in a 30 minute segment.
30 minute segment, yeah.
Cool. That'd be great. Okay, take care, everybody. We'll see you all again on the NCRA Radio Networks. Bye-bye. Bye bye.